Anyong Haseo. Good morning and welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. This morning we welcome Ted Bellingham, who is studying with us for a season, and we look forward to hearing God's words through this service. Tea and coffee will be served in the foyer between the services. That's because the Mayo Hall is still a bit cold. It's in the process of having new heating cooling system being put in. Now, the church will need decorating for Christmas, so please come and support the working party this Saturday at the 9th of December, starting at 10:30. I know that Steve will appreciate your support. Next Sunday is our gift service, and we collect gifts for WellCare, which is a local charity that supports parents and parenting, and they would appreciate gifts for older children. There will be a loose cash offering for cystic fibrosis research also on that day. Now, the service next week will be followed by part two of our November church meeting, and the agendas will be sent out after the elders' meeting, which is happening on Tuesday. And don't forget, the service starts at 10:30. Sorry? Yes. And yes. The prayer handbook for 2018 is now available here for sale, and it costs £6.50. Pastoral news. Pat Brooks is in Keats Ward in Kingston, and she would welcome visitors, but do check with Martin or Hayun just in case she gets home before you might be planning to visit her. This is the very last opportunity for you to join in with the alternative Christmas card. Denise, where are you? She's waving. Yeah. Hi, Denise. So do see Denise if you can, and you'd like to join in with that. And finally, Liz would like to say something.
Well, it's the same message as last week. If you'd like to join the choir for the carol service, you can still come on board. We've had a first meeting, but we're starting in earnest this Saturday. There are two rehearsals, this Saturday and next Saturday, 10 o'clock in the church. Do come. And the service itself is a fortnight today in the evening, so it's really jolly soon.
Good morning. Once again, it's a great privilege to be leading our worship. You may notice that there are very few children here this morning. That's because they're all outside making the Advent wreath. If you hear a croak in my voice, I do apologise. I've been to college this last week, and there is a dreaded college cold going around, which I seem to have woken up with this morning. So I do apologise. We worship God this morning in his name and in the presence of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our call to worship is both on the screen and in the leaflets. So will you say together the words in bold? At dawn, let us watch for God and celebrate a new day. At noon, let us watch for God and give thanks for all we are and have. At dusk, let us watch for God and appreciate the blessings of the day. At night, let us watch for God and acknowledge the light of his eternal love. And now, let us watch for God and experience his presence as we worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first hymn this morning will appear on the screens, but if you are using the hymn books, it's number 141. Make way, make way. A hymn we sing both at this time of year, Advent, but also at Easter as well. And Easter, we think about Jesus making his way into Jerusalem in triumph. But here at Advent, we talk about making way for Christ, making way for the Lord in our hearts and into the world. Let us sing together, Make Way. A prayer of approach this morning requires a response, please. When I say, come, Lord Jesus, come, can you repeat that? Come, Lord Jesus, come. So when I say, come, Lord Jesus, come, please repeat, come, Lord Jesus, come. So let's turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we rejoice in this season of good news and goodwill. We celebrate once more the birth of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the Word made flesh. And we praise you for the assurance of his final triumph. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For coming among us through Jesus, for bearing our flesh and our blood, for living our life and sharing our humanity, for entering our world, loving God, we praise you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For suffering and dying among us, for your victory over death, your triumph over evil, and your promise that the kingdom will come. Loving God, we praise you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For the wonders of this season, for its message of love and forgiveness, its promise of peace and justice, and the gift of life everlasting of which it speaks. Loving God, we praise you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Loving God, we rejoice again in this season of Advent, this season of good news and goodwill. And we look forward to that day when the Jesus of Bethlehem will be the Lord of all. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In Christ's name we praise and worship you. Amen. Now let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we'll have our first Bible reading now, please.
The reading is from Mark chapter 13, starting at verse 24. The coming of the Son of Man. In the days after that time of trouble, the sun will grow dark. The moon will no longer shine. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in the clouds, with great power and glory. He will send the angels out of the four corners of the earth to gather God's chosen people from one end of the world to the other. Let the fig tree teach you a lesson. When its branches become green and tender, and it starts putting out leaves, you will know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that the time is near, ready to begin. Remember, all these things will happen before the people now living have all died. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words will never fail. No one knows, however, when that day or hour will come, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father knows. Be on watch, be alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It will be like the man who goes away from home on a journey and leaves his servants in charge. After giving to each one his own work to do, and after telling the doorkeeper to keep watch. Be on guard then, because you do not know when the master of the house is coming. It might be the evening, or at midnight, or before dawn, or sunrise. If he comes suddenly, he must not find you asleep. What I say to you then, I say to all, watch.
Thank you for that reading from the Gospel according to Mark. We're going to sing again now. It's number 600 if you're using the hymn books. Christ is the world's light. I hope you know this one. There's two emphatic statements in it for me. The first line and the last line. The first line that reads, Christ is the world's true light. Amen to that. And the last line, come Prince of Peace and reign. Let's hope and pray for that too. So let's stand as we're able to sing, Christ is the world's light. So, here we are, the first Sunday in Advent. Christmas is coming. Did you know, if you don't count Sundays, that there are just 18 shopping days to Christmas? I don't like to panic anybody, but if you're one of these people that likes everything prepared, I hope you're well down that road of preparation. But if you like to leave everything to the last minute, 18 days, that's plenty of time. Of course, here in Advent, not only do we think about shopping days, but we're thinking about celebrating the coming of the baby Jesus. Of course, that is what Advent is about, but there's more to Advent than just that. As some of us may know, the word Advent is derived from the Latin word Adventus, which means simply coming. But that in turn is a translation of the Greek word parousia. And indeed, originally, there was very little that linked Advent to Christmas or to the birth of Jesus. And it wasn't until about the 1500s that that link was made. Before that time, from about the 6th century, the Christian church actually linked Advent, the coming, with the coming of Christ, but his second coming rather than his first coming in that manger at Bethlehem. So hence, the lectionary reading that we heard read this morning was from Mark's Gospel about Jesus' second coming. Now, I'm very mindful that we have 11:30 service. I'm very mindful this is a communion service. And I guess most of us would like to get home for lunch. So this won't be a lengthy discourse about Jesus' second coming. It'll be a quick canter through some of the options as to what that actually means. But more importantly, it'll be drawing out of those issues around Jesus' second coming and that Bible reading about what we can take away as Christians in the 21st century for our everyday lives. But first of all, we do need to put that Bible reading, that part of the Gospels, into context. The whole of Mark 13 is one of the longest discourses, one of the longest talks we find that Jesus actually gives. And we had the second half. But I just need to put that into context and talk about the first half first. So in the first half of chapter 13, which is often headed in our Bible something like signs of the end age, or indeed the second coming. And it details things like the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, prophecies about wars, destructions, earthquakes, famines, talks about the persecution and displacement of people, talks about internecine conflict. It's a series of events which is very often termed the little apocalypse, in contrast to the major apocalypse we have described in the book of Revelation. So the second half of our chapter, the one we heard today, is when Jesus uses vivid imagery to describe the second coming of man. And let me quote from Mark. In the days after the time of trouble, the sun will grow dark. The moon will no longer shine. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in the clouds with great power and glory. That's poetry. That's poetic imagery, which would have been familiar to those disciples and the people that Jesus was talking to. Jesus then proceeds to use too many parables to warn of the inability of us, the inability of all to save for God, to know the day and the hour of such a coming. And consequently, if we don't know when, to watch out for it. And let me quote again from the passage. No one knows, however, when that day or hour will come. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only God knows. So, be on watch, be alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Watch then, because you do not know when the master of the house is coming. If he comes suddenly, he must not find you asleep. What I say to you then, I say to all, watch. But as you would expect theological scholars to do, it hasn't stopped them trying to decipher and discern just when that second coming might be. And broadly, there's three schools of thought about that. There's what they call the futuristic position, which is just that, which is God's kingdom will unexpectedly suddenly appear in human affairs in some stage in the future. And over the ages, the scholars have tried to predict that. One of the favourite times, and I suspect many of us remember it well, was at the millennium. One national American newspaper even went as far as predicting it in a headline, Jesus is coming again, on January the 1st, 2000. Apparently, even John Wesley attempted. He said the depravity of his time, that was the 18th century, the depravity of the time was so bad, he was certain Christ was going to return even only a few years at the most. So that's the first position. The second position is quite the opposite, really. It's the realized position. It's saying that Jesus has already actually had his second coming. The kingdom is already with us. With some people saying that's interpreted as well as when we welcome Christ into our lives. The second coming is for us, an individual act when he comes into our lives, or in the form of the Holy Spirit coming to us. And then there's sort of the middle of the road position, the inaugurated position, which is that Jesus' birth was the beginning of the coming of the kingdom, began to manifest itself in human affairs, but its full extent is yet to be realized. Clearly, God continues to be involved with us. But whichever school of thought sits most comfortably for us, for you individually, what is always important to stress is its unexpectancy. In Matthew's description of the little apocalypse, he attributes these words to Jesus. Therefore, you must always be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Let's not forget that 5 of the 10 young women waiting for the bridegroom missed out because they had gone to sleep. They missed out. They weren't prepared. Paul, in his first lesson to the Thessalonians, describes the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. And Matthew writes later in his gospel of the need to be at home to prevent the thief breaking in. Which actually reminds me of being a young policeman again. Some time ago, I know, and we used to have a catchphrase, which a crime prevention catchphrase, which was, watch out, there's a thief about. And it used to have a black and white caption with a man looking as though he was a thief. No, not watch out, the thief's coming at 9 o'clock tomorrow evening to break into your house, so be at home. A general warning to be on the alert, a constant awareness. You know, perhaps as Christians, we ought to have a similar catchphrase. Watch out, the Lord is about. And as we wait and watch, to be faithful followers of Christ. As Peter in his second letter writes, as you wait, what sort of people should you be? And he answers his own question. Your lives should be holy and dedicated to God. As you wait for the day of God, do your best to be pure and faultless in God's sight and to be at peace with Him. Let me suggest that our waiting for God's kingdom is not passive. We need to be alert. We need to be ready for God to turn up in all sorts of unexpected places and situations. We need to be alive to God's presence at all times. The possibilities that He presents to us, which can both delight us, but can also challenge us. I don't know whether anybody's ever tried to read anything written by Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury. A very brilliant man in many respects, but I just find reading what he writes so theologically dense, I can't understand it. However, he has written an excellent short little book, very readable, called Being Disciples, The Essentials of Christian Life. And if anyone's interested, I can give you those details after the service. But in that little book, he writes about our need as disciples of Christ to be in a constant state of awareness and expectancy. An awareness which motivates us to be open to God in everything we do and in every situation we're in, to be aware of the possibilities of God being in that situation, and an expectation that God will act in our everyday lives, presenting us with opportunities to both witness to His work and to respond to in His name. Be prepared for God to appear in our lives and expect that to happen and for us to be able to respond. So let me draw some of these strands together in conclusion. That our watching and expecting God's kingdom to be fully realized should be an active, not a passive time for us all. We need to create and maintain space for God in our lives. And even in those 18 days that we got left to shop before Christmas, let's anticipate and expect God to appear in them. In among the preparation and the buying, the decorating, the inviting, the cooking, the excitement and anticipation, let's faithfully respond by showing service in God's name, by demonstrating His love and grace. Let's never allow that busyness of this time of year to distract us from our watch. Remember, watch out, the Lord is about. Amen. Now, I'm sort of anticipated by this stage that I might have a gathering outside, but it doesn't look as though we're quite there yet. But someone's going to see if they are coming. Because what we'll do, if they are ready, we'll come in and we'll light the first Advent calendar. They are. I've got the thumbs up. That's great. Okay. So let's see the product of the children's work. At this stage, you're meant to go, wow. Right. So, before we light the first candle, though, did you know that Advent wreaths like this were first thought about nearly 200 years ago in Germany? And what happened was, there was a mission worker who was working in a school for poor children. And every year he was there, when it got to this time of year, the children were saying, come on, Johann. When is Christmas coming? Is today Christmas? Is tomorrow Christmas? They kept asking and asking. So one year, he got this massive cartwheel, and in the centre of this cartwheel, he put four white candles, and all the way around the edge, he put 24 red candles. And every weekday and Saturdays, he used to light a red candle. And on every Sunday, they used to light a white candle. So they knew when Christmas was coming. And that's the origins of what you've made today, which is absolutely super. And the first candle we light today is traditionally called the Candle of Hope. And sometimes it's purple. Notice purple tie? Purple standing for hope. So do you think we should light the candle now? Who's going to do that? And then we're going to say a prayer. Ah, we have light. Excellent, thank you. So let us pray. Living God, we have hope because you are faithful to us, and we know you will keep the promises you make to us. Our hope comes from you alone. May you fill us all with love this Advent and Christmas time, so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, our hope may overflow into the lives of others. Amen. Would you children like to take a seat while we sing a little song first, and then you can go back to activities? Okay, great. Now, Leslie has chosen a hymn that we're going to sing over Advent. Every time we reach this stage of lighting another Advent calendar, we're going to add another verse to it. So this time, we're just going to sing the first verse. So that'll appear on the screens. It's also on the service sheets as well. So Tony is going to play the first verse through, because it may be a tune that's unfamiliar to many of you, and then we will stand to sing. So Tony, thank you. Down. So if you want to hear second verse, third verse, fourth verse, you know what you have to do. Now the children are going to resume their own activities. See you later, guys. Meanwhile, we will have our prayers of intercession. So you will see on your service sheet that there is a response needed, please. I will say, Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Please say together, help us to reach out in love. Let us pray. Loving God, accept now our glad thanksgivings for all you have given us, and hear now our prayers for your world. We pray for those for whom there is no celebration, the poor and the hungry, the homeless and the sick, the lonely and the bereaved, the oppressed and the persecuted. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. We pray for all those whose celebration this Advent and Christmas is marred by fear. Those who are anxious for themselves or a loved one, who see no hope in the future, or who live under the constant threat of danger. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. We pray for all who wrestle with grief, those whose lives have been broken by tragedy, who live each day in a perpetual shadow, crushed by the burden of sorrow. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. We pray for all who feel isolated and lonely, for those who feel unloved, unwanted, those who perhaps find it hard to show love towards others, or whose relationships have been broken by cruelty, discord, division. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Reach out in love. Loving God, come now to our world through Jesus Christ to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. In his name we pray. Amen. Our offering will now be received. Let's dedicate these gifts. Gracious and loving God, you give us so much in every moment of our lives, yet we can give you so little in return. But accept now this money as a token of our thanks. Take these gifts. Take us to use for your service and to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen. The hymn that brings us around the Lord's table is 199 if you're using the hymn books. Again, the words will appear on the screen. Jesus the Lord says, I'm the bread, I'm the vine, I'm the way, I'm the light and the life. Let us stand as we are able to sing, Jesus the Lord says. As we gather around the Lord's table, let us recall that Jesus often shared meals with friends. He ate and drank with all kinds of people and showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people meet together, Jesus was glad to be welcome and to be fed. And today we are his guests. He invites us all. He welcomes us, whoever we are, whatever we bring, and he feeds us at his table. Old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us to share the bread and the wine, to remember the story of his life and his death, and to celebrate his presence with us today. He invites us all. Everybody this morning is welcome to receive communion, the bread and the wine. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come as you commanded those that love you, responding to your gracious invitation to this sacred meal, to eat bread and to drink wine in remembrance of you. We are here to receive your forgiveness, to rejoice again in your great mercy and generous pardon, your unfailing willingness to pick us up after our sinfulness, to offer yet again a break with the past, a new beginning, a fresh chapter. So we come now, conscious of our sin, but rejoicing in your mercy. May this bread and this wine be to us your body and blood, symbolizing all you sacrificed for us. Amen. So let us once more recall the narrative for the Lord's Supper, as recorded this time by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a piece of bread. He broke it. He gave thanks to God and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." This means that every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I'd point out that there is a gluten-free alternative on the trays of bread, and that the wine is alcohol-free. The custom here is to remain seated. If you're unfamiliar with how we do communion, to remain seated, and the elders will serve you in your place. When you receive the bread, please eat it individually as a sign of our personal communion with our Lord. But when you receive the wine, please retain it until all are served, and then we'll drink it together as a symbol of our collective union with our Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following his example, we take this bread and this wine and give thanks to God. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give thanks for what you have given and for what we have promised and you have promised us here. You've made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we go from here, we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of your kingdom, and that your love may be your, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our hymn which brings our service to an end, if you're using the hymn book, is number 521. Forth in thy name we go, to follow our Lord in all we do, we think, and we speak. Forth in the name of our Lord. Let us stand to sing. Blessing. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You have satisfied our hunger and thirst with the living bread and the new wine. Go with us now and help us to share what we have received so that others may come to know your saving grace and love. And now let's say together, if we feel comfortable, to each other, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.